Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
All right, we got a great show lined up this week. We're going to talk with Tom Sargent, who is the head coach of the Saskatoon Hilltops of the PFC. They've got a big game against the Regina Thunder this weekend. And Taras Kaczkowski, he is a member of the PA Minor Football Association. He's also a referee up north in Saskatchewan, so he's helping grow the game up there. We'll talk to him about all things football in Prince Albert. But first, one of our Rider panelists, become a good buddy of mine, Chris Best, joining me. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing great, Baldy. How about you?
Doing well, man. How's retirement life?
Oh, it's great. Summer is so much different when you don't have to play football every week.
First summer you've had to yourself since you were, what, 16?
16, yeah, because 17 I had a bunch of teams I had to play for. So, yeah, since I was 16, more than half my life has been football.
So tell our podcast listeners what you've been doing this summer. Some of the things Chris Best, the dad and husband, has been doing.
I have tried to go to every single beach within 2 hours of Regina. I don't think I hit them all, but I got close. Tons of walks, doing stuff around the house, lots of very stereotypical stuff. But when you don't have a chance to do it, it's actually a lot of fun. I had a great summer.
So Folk Fest, too, you did that, right? You probably
I did, yes. Folk Fest, I was there.
Yeah.
Lots of farmers markets. Yeah, it was... I said it was as stereotypical as it gets, but it was a ton of fun.
That's awesome. Okay, so do you think the Saskatchewan Rough Riders have turned the corner, Chris Best?
I mean, how could you say they haven't? These last three games have been dominating. They've been against three teams that have been good teams. And not only were they all both at home, like there was one in away game, too, against a good Edmonton team, you know, a lot of injuries. But they still had Mike Riley throwing the football back there. So, yeah, I would say they've turned the corner.
What was the most surprising thing to you in these last three games? What has been the most surprising thing? Because you and I talked earlier this year, and we said, hey, these guys don't match up with the BCs, Calgarys, Edmontons, and Winnipegs of the world. And then, like you said, averaging 44 points a game the last 3 weeks. What's been the biggest surprise for you?
Just the dominance, the fast starts, like just all three phases of the game, just going out there and kicking butt. Like it's been... That was kind of our problem. So we had a game in BC and a game in Calgary. We kind of showed up and like barely, there was no emotion, there was no fire. These last three games, right from the start, these guys have been out there, they've been trying to kick some butt, they've been punching people in the face, and they've been doing it the whole game. Like that's, it's refreshing to see, and that's really, I think, there's a lot of skill there as well, but that's really, I think, kind of what really got them over the hump here.
Okay, so as we look at this football team, I asked you this on the Rider broadcast on our Rough Rider radio network on 620 CKRM. Who's your MVP through the first 9 weeks for the Rough Riders?
I've been saying his name all year long, and I'm not going to stop. Willie Jefferson has been a force at defensive end. He is throwing tackles around. He is making plays. Even when he's not hitting the quarterback, he's making that quarterback move and making the quarterback figure out where Willie is. So he's affecting the game a whole lot. I'm definitely saying Willie Jefferson.
Now, Cameron Marshall's been an unsung hero. He won't play this week. Neither will Nick Dembski. But fortunately for the Rough Riders, they've got a guy that averages 7.6 yards a carry in Greg Morris. People might not know that, but in his career, as limited as it's been, 7.6 yards a carry. And, of course, the big offseason signing has been Keenan LaFrance. I'm interested to see how those guys operate behind this O-line.
Me too, yeah. Greg Morris runs hard. He is a great guy. Like, you watch him run those returns, he is a north-south guy, and he goes and attacks. And, like, that's really good to see. I want to see Greg get some touches and let him see what he can do. And then Keenan LaFrance, yeah, that's the Grey Cup hero, you know. Obviously, he had a great playoff last year in Ottawa. This year, he's kind of been buried on the depth chart with, understandably so, Cameron Marshall's been playing great, and Greg Morris is doing a really good job on kick returns. So now... Next man up, it's Keenan LaFrance's turn, and he's going to have a chance to show what he can do.
Do you think your buddy Dan Clark gets his job back? First of all, you talked to him. Do you think he'll be back this year off that injury? And when he comes back, do you think he'll get into the lineup? Because Brendan Labatt has been real good. The Swiss Army knife of that offensive line playing the center.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a ratio question. First off, Clark, he's working his butt off trying to get it back out there. He's dying not being out in this field. He's like the rest of us. Whenever you're hurt, you work as hard as you can to try and get back out in that field, and he is no exception. But it's a ratio question, you know. Like if they want to play another American somewhere, like a guy like Caleb Hawley, who's been a game day and active, they kind of have to put Dan Clark in there. They don't really have another. Well, depending on how the running backs go this weekend, but that's the most obvious spot to slide another starting Canadian in, put Labatt back to his guard spot. But at the same time, with how things are going, it's kind of hard to say we need to tamper with this formula. You know, three games in a row of 44 points a game, like you may just kind of go with the one that brought you there, right? So I hope that Clark gets back out there. But at the same time, if they keep it the way they have, like I understand.
The Winnipeg Blue Bombers were upset, their announcers and Andrew Harris and a few of their players, that the Riders were quote-unquote faking injuries. Do you think the Riders, even though they said they weren't, do you think they were faking injuries? And the second part to my question, Chris Best, is has Chris Best ever faked an injury?
I mean, I can't say for sure they were faking injuries. You know, injuries are part of a football game, especially like a grudge match like a Labor Day always is. You know, like this is a hated rival, so like things get extra like dicey out there. I can't say whether they were faked. You know, I guess other people that were, you know, like, so that, you know, obviously if it gets too bad, it gets too obvious. Yeah, the ref should do something about that. But it didn't seem too obvious to me. I think this is mostly just Winnipeg guys being super angry about, you know, the fact that they came in here and got their butts kicked.
Yeah.
In terms of myself, yes, I have faked an injury once, only once in my career. Early in my career when I was the sixth offensive lineman and I wasn't starting, but I was dressing for the game, I only did field goal. And our defense, it was 2008, I can't remember. Our defense just scored on a pick six, and so those guys are just gassed, obviously. And so I'm running out for the field goal for the extra point. And one of the old guys just yells at me, go down, go down. And so I line up, and I'm like, I have to make this look realistic. I mean, my hip flexors were bugging me a little bit. So on the field goal, I don't even got hit. I just kind of keeled over and grabbed my hip flexor. And the trainers were kind of laughing at me because they knew, I told them they knew what was going on. But that was the one and only time in my career I faked an injury.
Does every team have a designated go down guy, though? Come on.
I mean, kind of like, yeah, it made sense to be me because I wasn't one of the real starters. Like, I wasn't out there playing, so if I missed a couple plays in a row, it wasn't going to be a big deal. There's not an official guy, but it's kind of unspoken. You know, it's going to be a backup. It's going to be a guy you can afford to miss for a couple plays. I really don't think it's that prevalent, though. I don't think there's a bunch of guys faking injuries every game. It's just kind of one of those gamesmanship things that happens every now and again.
Okay, Chris Best joining me for a couple of more seconds here on Growing the Game podcast. Okay, Bestie, Winnipeg, they come in here, they're fans. Apparently, they tried to rip Gaynor's head off, and De'Ron Carter says one of the fans spit on him. I want to ask you, how tough is it to go into Winnipeg? Do you get, I don't imagine you get treated with kid gloves there either.
Oh, not at all. And those fans will be out there during, like, pre-warm-ups. So they'll be there hours before the game, just chirping the whole time. Yeah, there's no love lost between these two teams. I've actually, Winnipeg is one of the only places I've ever been flipped off by a five-year-old before. So that kind of always sticks out. So, yeah, there's definitely, I mean, they're going to let them have it. And, like, that place with that, the similar roof to ours, that place gets really loud. So it's going to be a tough environment, and they're going to let you know that those fans are going to chirp that team the entire time.
So the Riders on many people's power rankings are number two. I know nobody really cares about that. I asked Rob Bagg this week. He didn't care either. But the Riders are certainly climbing the respect ladder, as it were. They're rounding into form here. Do you see the Riders winning this Banjo Bowl? I know you're a guy that says it's tough to win back-to-back.
It absolutely is, but the way they've been playing, if they start fast and start the same way they've started these last three games, I can definitely see them winning this back-to-back. You know, like Winnipeg, you look at that first half, Winnipeg did not have an answer for what the Rough Riders are doing. So I'd like to see them, you know, third quarter was a bit lackadaisical by the Rough Riders, you know, up big. It makes sense, but I'd like to see them not let off the gas and stick to it like they have been sticking to it. If they bring that same energy they have brought, like, I think it's going to be a Rough Rider win.
So where does Chris Best watch the Banjo Bowl? Does he sit with his wife and his lovely daughter, Libby, three-year-old? Or, like, what do you do? And is that weird for you still?
No, unfortunately, I've been hurt for a couple of Banjo Bowls, so I have some experience doing this. I can't go to bars. I can't deal with it. So I got to, I usually just watch at home or watch with a couple other former football player friends, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely not in public.
That's Chris Best, and this is Growing the Game. Well, this is the best time of year. We've got high school football firing up all over the province in the different locales. Of course, university football, big matchup, number 5-ranked Regina on the road taking on number 2 Calgary. We've got the U of S Huskies at home to the University of Alberta. And this weekend, big PFC matchup. It's the 3-time defending national champion Saskatoon Hilltops against the Regina Thunder. And Tom Sargent, the Hilltops head coach, joins us. How are you, Tom?
Hey, I'm doing well. You bet. Life's good and looking forward to Saturday night.
Yeah, okay. So let's start with 3-time defending national champs. Probably never gets old saying it. How tough is it to keep a team motivated year after year to win that championship? I know it's cyclical. You turn guys over. But how tough is it to keep them motivated?
Well, there's certainly, you know, there's a lot of theory to the game, a lot of art to the game. And, you know, we're blessed to have a great tradition with the Hilltops. And, you know, as I said, it's always next man up. We have a strong belief in what we do. I got a fantastic coaching staff that teaches the right virtues and the right way to play the game and act around the game. So we're pretty good at keeping our players humble. We continue to create high expectations. And, you know, hey, it's a Saskatchewan kid, so they keep delivering. And that's just a big part of the Hilltop family and why we're able to you know, as I say, the key is just trying to get yourself to the important games at the end of the year.
Yeah, for sure. And it is such a short season. You got to be motivated right from the start, or you could fall behind the eight ball, as it were. But so talk about it. You talk about the Hilltop way. Just describe what the Hilltop way is for people that wouldn't know.
Well, real, so, you know, we really preach humility. You know, we don't get ahead of ourselves. If you watch, our players are going to play hard. They're going to play, you know, within the rules. We're always the least penalized team. There's a strong focus, strong belief, and, you know, and people don't get ahead of ourselves. We play and coach for a fifth-year player. We're blessed that, you know, people stay so loyal to the process. And, you know, a lot of my players stay 5 years, and that evolution, you know, allows ourselves. And, you know, when you do get to the big game, you want to be led by your fifth-year players. And, as I said, that's obviously been a pretty good formula. And I prefer to say we've won 6 out of 7. I think that's more impressive than 3 in a row. So, as I said, we feel pretty darn good about everything we've been doing.
Yeah, 6 out of 7, that is amazing. Talk about the growth and the evolution of junior football. I played it way back in the day in the 90s, but just talk about the growth and evolution of junior football and just how good a product it is.
Well, you know, for me, it's the best bang for the buck with a kid coming right out of high school. You know, you, right now you look at the CGFL, you look at the CIS, and, you know, this what the CGFL is doing, they're trying to grow the game by having us, you know, last year we played the BC League, this year we're playing the Ontario League, and we took that idea from the CIS, and they just weren't able to make it happen or didn't feel it was feasible. And, you know, now you're getting interconference games for points. You know, Regina to go down to Hamilton. What a great experience for, you know, the players and kids out of Regina to go there. And, you know, you take so much from the game. And so, you know, at the end of the day, when I look at the CGFL, there's great coaches. There's a lot of passion there. You know, these are guys that got full-time jobs, the coaches, and then they're giving their gas at, you know, when the day is done. And that's what I'm really proud to be connected and associated to. And you know, as I said, Scott and myself, we get to coach Saskatchewan kids. There's not a better kid to coach when you talk football. And as I said, I just feel so blessed to be connected to the Hilltops and, you know, be a part of the process, try and help us win.
Why does Tom Sargent like to coach? I mean, you're a principal at Walter Murray in Saskatoon, mm-hmm. So you're around kids all day, and then you're around kids at night, although older kids. Why do you like to coach football?
I love competition. I've always loved the game of football. I felt brought out the best in me and the best in others. And if it wasn't for football, I wouldn't be the principal at Walter Murray Collegiate. And so it's taught me so many life lessons, you know, certainly thankfully to the great coaches I've had in the past. And, you know, it's like paying it forward. You know, I guess, you know, it's been the coaches, my coaches besides my family that have put me in these spots, and, you know, so I love to give back as well. And, you know, you get whatever day you're having, all of a sudden you get to that football field, you get that tape on, and you get that whistle around your neck, there's a different adrenaline that gets going. And hey, and there are not too many better feelings than, you know, it's Saturday night at 7 when we're playing our arch rival Regina Thunder. That should bring out the best in everybody.
I was at the first game at the new stadium there, and it was a pretty good game. Looked like the Thunder had a couple of miscues that you guys capitalized on, which good teams tend to do. What do you expect from the Thunder this week as you guys battle in that nice stadium that you have up there?
Well, I mean, you know, you're so right. At the end of the day, they had a few mistakes that we jumped on, and, you know, they're going to clean those things up. And we know at the end of the day, you throw all the stats out the window. It's, you know, these kids have played each other in senior bowls and all that. Man, the competition on the field is fierce. And well, hey, no one knows us better. They probably, Regina Thunder coach, I probably know ourselves better than we do. They understand our tendencies, our players, and what we're going to do. And it's vice versa. So, you know, at the end of the day, it all comes down to who makes the least amount of mistakes, who does not turn over the ball, and, you know, at the end of who executes their game plan. And, you know, we're going to have a few things different that we didn't show last time, and we know they will as well. And so it's just, hey, execute those game plans, see where it goes. Hey, it's just, as I said, so fortunate to be in this big game.
Hey, Tom Sargent is a household name in the province and in the high school ranks. Tell us about some of the names that we want to get familiar with on the Hilltops here, the 3-time defending national champs, 6 out of the last 7. Give us some of the names that we might be paying attention to this Saturday when you guys take on the Thunder.
Well, we were very lucky this year through, you know, our connection with the Rider organization. We were able to send two of our players, number 21, Logan Fisher, a running back who's actually been the 2-time reigning MVP of the Canadian Bowl, and then Tom Schnitzler, who actually spent about a month there. Tommy is our rush-in long snapper, and he really showed himself well. And both are fifth-year players, and really proud of them. And, you know, so those will be two of our marquee players. And then, you know, hey, we lost our star quarterback in Jared Anderchuk, but Jordan Walls, as a fourth-year player, stepped in and still kept this offense moving and doing good things. We have all-Canadian Sam Mike as a wide receiver, and Jason Price led the league in receiving yards last year. So, you know, offensively, we feel we got a real nice package. And then go to the defensive side, you know, besides Tommy, you got James Voss, a safety in the middle that's, you know, 22-year-old, and Cody Peters and Cam Snitcher, two linebackers that, you know, Cam was an all-Canadian last year, and just a two high-end athletic linebackers that make plays. So, you know, we feel they put us in good shape and, you know, allow us to be successful so far, being 3-0 at the start of the year.
Tom Sargent, the head coach of the three-time defending national champion Saskatoon Hilltops. His Hilltops play the Regina Thunder this week. Thanks for this, Tom.
Hey, appreciate this. Thanks for what you're doing to grow the game in Saskatchewan, and appreciate all you've done as well.
All right, our guest now is Taras Kaczkowski. He's a PA minor football. Now, you're on the executive. You're also coaching the Pee Wee team. What's the Pee Wee team name?
Our team that we participate in the Saskatoon Kinsmen Football League is called the Prince Albert River Riders.
All right, cool. Okay, so let's talk about the PA Minor Football Association and really a nice little backstory to this, Taras, because you guys, you know, there's the reincarnation of it in the 80s. Tell us how this thing got going.
Well, there's actually been two previous incarnations of Prince Albert Minor Football. There was one in the 60s and one in the 80s. Both of those lasted apparently about 5 years each and then just kind of fizzled out. I think the organizers kind of didn't find anybody to kind of bring them up after they were kind of decided they had enough, and it just kind of died out. But and then the current PA Minor Football history basically begins with the 80s incarnation, in that several of the current board were players in, or sorry, the founding board were players in the 1980s and kind of ended up becoming prominent business people in the community about 10 years ago when they decided to form the current Prince Albert Minor Football. There is one story that I did read. I remember when the PA Daily Herald did an article for us early on in our history. The reporter managed to track down somebody from the 1960s incarnation of PA Minor Football, and apparently back then, apparently you really wanted to play the first game out of the two. There was four teams, so there was always two games a week, and you always wanted to play the first game of the day because there was four teams, but there was only two sets of equipment. So of course the second game you had to wear someone else's sweaty equipment, so you can imagine how much fun that must have been.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey I want to get to a really interesting story about a boy named Max, but first off, on that note, just talk about how you need the community to get behind this football association to really pull it off and fund it and the equipment and all that type of stuff.
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned, several of the founding board were players in the 80s. And actually, you did mention there's a young gentleman by the name of Max Clooney, who's a very central figure in the history of the current Prince Albert Minor Football. The reason why that is actually the Clooney family had relatives that played in the Saskatoon KFL, and they would always come down every game day and cheer on their relatives. And after one of those games, young Max once asked his father on the drive home, "Hey, how come we don't have any minor football here in Prince Albert?" And Max's father answered, "Well, maybe someday, son, there will be." And like I said, his father, Russ Clooney, happened to be a fairly prominent businessman in our community here, and he phoned up some friends that were alumni of the 80s version of the game and also had some kids of their own that were the same age as they were when they played, and said, "You know what, let's give this opportunity to our kids and let them experience the same fun that we had at that age." So they Russ phoned up several of his friends and business associates and whatnot, founded the current PA Minor football, I guess 10 years ago now. It started with a Bantam program, a flag program for Bantams. The next year, they purchased equipment, and they started playing in the Saskatoon KFL. And then the year following that, the Pee Wee team was formed, and Max was the first ever Pee Wee registrant.
Okay, so now Max asks his dad, as the story goes, why don't we have lights at our field? Tell us kind of the rest of this story.
Right. Well, so of course, the Pee Wee program started, and of course, we end up having to play several games in Saskatoon. And so one day, after one of our Wednesday night games in Saskatoon, on the drive back, Max happened to ask his dad, you know, why don't we have a football field that's lit for football, for night games in Prince Albert? And once again, Russ's answer to his son was, maybe Sunday, son, there will be. And there was some, there had already been some discussions and some work towards making that happen, unbeknownst to young Max at the time. But unfortunately, Max never did get to play under the lights in Prince Albert because, unfortunately, he went on a fly-in fishing trip with some members of his extended family, and unfortunately there was the plane that they were traveling in crashed near South End in northern Saskatchewan, and there were no survivors. So of course we're quite sad about that, but I guess the silver lining in it all was that was the kind of the catalyst, if you will, of making sure that these lights were to be installed. And that work began to happen quite in earnest for that.
Yeah, it was really good. You know, as the story goes, as I understand it, several of his friends and teammates, sell Max Power T-shirts and went on kind of a fundraiser to help this thing go over the top.
Yeah, well, Max was a very active young man. Before playing football, he played hockey, baseball, rode horses, and also rode motocross. So on his motorcycle, he had a custom graph that read Max Power. So his friends kind of took that graphic and printed it on a bunch of T-shirts, and there were thousands, actually, that they sold at $20 a pop and basically donated all the proceeds towards putting the lights up. Other players in the River Rider organization and their parents went on a bottle drive. There was a radiothon held, and within 2 weeks, $700,000 was raised, and lights were put up in time for the football season that fall, which is now 5 years ago, going on six.
That's right, and it's now called Max Clooney Field, and you guys have a classic football game every year, I understand?
Yes, of course, the biggest football game of the year in Prince Albert is between the two main high schools here in Prince Albert, Carleton and St. Mary's, and that game was given added significance when a local businessman donated a trophy for it. So as of 2011, that game is now known as the Canadian Tire Classic. And during the pregame ceremonies of that first game, the field was officially named Max Clooney Field in Max's honor. So Max will certainly always be a big part of the football community here in Prince Albert.
Tell you what, it is a very healthy football community because as we look across, different football leagues, they're littered with guys from the PA Minor Football Association. Tell us about some of the alumni plan.
Well, we've been around long enough now that we've got, most of the kids that play in our minor programs, of course, do graduate on to play with Carleton and St. Mary's. And we've been around, like I say, long enough now that several kids have gone beyond our local high schools. And there's been one player that's played on the UFC Dinos and the Calgary Colts. There's been a couple that have played on the U of S Huskies and a couple on the Saskatoon Hilltops. And there's actually currently six former PA Minor football players that are on the active roster of the Regina Thunder this season.
That's outstanding. That's just a great story. Taras Kaczkowski joining us here on Growing the Game. Now, in terms of yourself, Taras, why do you love to coach? What makes you want to coach these young guys?
Well, I loved playing the game when I did. I grew up in Saskatoon, and even though the KFL was there, I never got involved in playing football until high school. I happen to be on the same high school team as Warren Muzyka and my third cousin, Gene Mikowski. And so, of course, had a lot of fun playing on the Walter Murray Marauders, and then just kind of fell out of football, and then an opportunity came up after I moved to Prince Albert to get involved as the Pee Wee program started up. And I kind of thought to myself, well, I only played 4 years of organized, you know, football, but that's more knowledge than the average 10 to 12 year old. I think maybe I can coach. And so I approached a friend of mine who was involved, and he welcomed me to come out and coach. So yeah, I've been mainly coaching the offensive line with the Pee Wee River Riders for 8 of the last 10 years that PA minor football's been around. And I do also, there's an indoor flag program that we have in the spring that I'm also take care of.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about your Pee Wee team. How are they looking so far this year?
Well, as a 6'6" adult, it's quite nice to have linemen that I can just about look eye to eye to. I do have some big boys on my line this year, so I'm really looking forward to seeing how the season plays out, that's for sure. It'll be really interesting this year because Football Canada has recommended that the Pee Wee level be played with nine-man rules. So, you know, that'll be certainly a bit of a change for us coaches, and I think it'll be a positive change for the kids as well.
Are any concerns like there are across the board in other centers with regards to concussions and with regards to the safety of players amongst the parents, and how do you alleviate those concerns?
Well, I mean, there has definitely been a lot of you know, press given to those issues in recent years. And actually, the sport of football in general, from the pros all the way down to the grassroots, have really turned that into a positive in that they've really emphasized safe contact. We're changing the way that the contact is taught to try and keep the head out of the hit. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, bottom line is football is a contact sport, and as such, there is a certain inherent risk of various injuries. That's just, you know, you can't sugarcoat that. It's part of the game, unfortunately, that's hard to eliminate, but you can certainly reduce the risks. And like I say, from top down all the way down to us, we do take great steps to teach the contacts so that they can give and receive the hit in such a manner as to reduce the possibility of injury as much as possible, for sure.
You also have an interesting perspective because you're also an official.
Yes, actually, I kind of wear both hats, if you will. We usually have a doubleheader here up in PA on Sunday afternoon, so I coach the Pee Wee game and then don the stripes and work a bantam game. And so it's definitely, it's another way for me to stay involved in the game and get a little exercise while I'm at it.
Yeah.
And enjoy the game from that perspective as well.
Speaking of officials, you kind of have a celebrity official coming out of PA in terms of the ranks that he has achieved so far.
Well, yeah, our PA Football Association, we cover a lot of territory in northern Saskatchewan. We have a total of membership of 53, but one person in particular I think would be of particular interest to people listening in, and that is Troy Semenchuk is now in his second year of officiating with the CFL. So he's gone from in his playing days with the Hilltops and the Huskies and gone into being a teacher and a coach, and now rose up the ranks of officiating from minor in high school to PJFC to U Sports, and again now he's in the CFL. So that's definitely we're very happy for him and very proud of our fellow official up here for sure.
Growing the game, this is what it's all about. Talking to guys like Taras Kaczkowski in Prince Albert. Thanks for this.
Thank you very much, Paul.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com.